We were all moving past it. They keep bringing it up. So here's the deal. Ultimately, The Acolyte failed because not enough people watched it, and Disney has a formula, and it was canceled. It was canceled because it was terrible. The reason it went nuclear on the internet is because it's a culmination of events. It was the final act of a thesis that's been going on since The Last Jedi that you can watch a bunch of YouTube videos on that will tell you exactly what happened to Disney Star Wars, why it's the biggest intellectual property failure of all time, run by Kathleen Kennedy, and it was the end, and that's it.
One of the funniest parts about, obviously, there's been a little bit going on Twitter over the past couple days, people that failed in another attempt to get us deplatformed and demonetized. But one of the funniest parts was in the minute and a half long video or whatever is supposedly supposed to show us at our worst. One of the clips they showed was that, like, Amanda Stenberg rapped a good time. That's just one of the most offensive and terrible things we've done. I would say apply that same energy to Amanda Stenberg, you know, because it was very offensive.
So it's been an interesting week. Really has been. And, you know, this is, third month in a row. Some form or another is coming after one of us in one way or another. It's mostly Ryan, by the way. This one's more of a copy and paste, but yeah, I was just looking back, and it's like, oh, my channel is under attack from a couple of months ago. I got one from last month, and now we got one from this month. I get mentioned, and they don't even mention me much within the manifesto at all. They just threw my name up there. They left Drinker out for some reason. What's going on?
I don't know how I dodged this bullet, man.
Little sus.
It does seem like Jeremy and myself were the main targets of this specific letter, and Gary was a target because you platform us. And the only thing they had against Jeremy was the fact that it was from like 2017 or something.
I'm going to have to make a confession. It was actually me who orchestrated the whole thing. I'm trying to get rid of me, Austin. Okay.
They have this whole, they're still stuck in like the 2018, 2019 mindset. And they still have this, they don't watch any of our shit. They still have that, like, the outside perception of like 2018, 2019, that Geeks and Gamers is like the biggest channel in this sphere. Even though, like, they literally can see when they show Gary's subscribers that it's a bigger channel, but they still have that perception that, like, Geeks and Gamers is the 2018 Geeks and Gamers.
Well, they're talking about, like, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, dude, they're fucking retarded.
Yeah, it was,
man,
like some weird time warp that
it
we
was.
Went,
yeah, I was like,
as soon as I saw that, obviously, for people that do not know, was it Tuesday that this happened? Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Sorry, was it Wednesday?
It was Wednesday.
Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern. A flood of, and I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tweets. This is clearly pre-planned out and organized and coordinated. Started pushing out with the very same verbiage. Hey, YouTube, you need to do something to demonetize Nerdrotic, Geeks and Gamers, and Ryan Kinnell. Hate cannot be allowed to profit or something. Like, that was pretty much what all of them were. And they had two pieces of paper right here. They literally put references in their meme to try to get us demonetized, alleging what's going on and the facts and the actions that we're requiring you to take. And this took a lot of, like, coordination. But the first fucking paragraph, they start talking about Milo Yiannopoulos in Ghostbusters 2016. And I'm thinking to myself,
wow,
the only people I've ever heard talk about that are those rewriting Ripley fucks.
Yep.
Right. They tried to cancel us with a very similar campaign, although not as widespread, 3.5 years ago. And turns out at 9:59 Eastern, 1 minute before this flood of action from them came out, they tweeted another video edited together trying to get us demonetized. They were definitely a part of this entire campaign. And it took about 24 hours. They thought that maybe we can actually get a win. We've had a lot of losses as Acolyte fans because, you know, we don't know what our gender is. There's a chance that 41% of my friends won't be around next year. We couldn't get the Acolyte renewed, right? All of these things. Only took 24 hours of them thinking they could possibly get a victory before Team YouTube came in and said, "We hear you. We see your concerns. Go fuck yourself." they haven't done anything wrong.
You know, rewriting Ripley had a really bizarre response to that. Yeah, I think it's underneath that one where they say something like, you don't understand. We haven't requested to have select videos removed. We simply want a handful of YouTube channels to be demonetized.
We didn't want the guy
to be spanked. We just wanted to nuke a few countries. It's like,
is take the livelihood away from people. And like their rationale seemed to be like, well, if you're not making money off it, then we'll see who the real fans are, because you're just going to have to talk about it and not make anything from it. It's like, okay. Do you understand that like some people, like being a YouTuber is their actual employment? Like that's how they pay the bills.
It's wild.
And also, guess what? All of us at one point were not making money on YouTube.
For a long time.
All of us at one point, some longer than others, were not making any money on YouTube. Started as a hobby, started as whatever, to talk about things that we cared about. And then over time, for different people, that eventually became a way that you could talk about what you care about and also make a living. That tweet is also like completely inaccurate, because no one in the Star Wars fandom is asking for select videos to be removed. Oh, yes, they are.
Yes,
one thing we found out in this is the dozens and dozens of people who admitted when Team YouTube would reply to them tagging them that they've been reporting all of our videos and all of our streams for years and years and years, yet YouTube continues to do nothing. So that's just straight up lie that no one is reporting our videos.
YouTube must have like just a blacklist of like users. Like whenever you get like a cancellation request a violation or whatever, like from them, they'll just be like, oh, these guys are fucking lunatics. Just ignore them. It's fine.
Yep. Yeah, I have to imagine there's some type of thing in their system where they've gotten so many reports on channels that and the channel has been cleared as many times. They're like, okay, we don't even need to look into this because this is part of the mob mentality. But if you look at like when you get in there and they start breaking down like the horrible things we've done, and it was just so easy to just destroy their argument with that Rose Tico narrative that they created back in 2018. Geeks and Gamers led the harassment campaign of Kelly Marie Tran. Show the video.
Because I saw the video you made about this. Like, you had the receipts where you like went back in time to your videos at that period, and you were straight up praising Kelly Marie Tran and saying like, she seems like a really nice person. Don't harass her. It's such a shame what's happened.
And it just goes to show that no matter how. And I just dropped the link in the chat of my another video I found where I went out of my way because they used. I think this is where they got some of those quotes that they put in there, but they changed the quotes up a little bit. But this is the video that I think they got those quotes, and look what they left out.
Rose Tico is a bad character. Rose Tico is an objectively bad character. Rose Tico is one of the worst characters in the history of Star Wars. That doesn't mean anything negative towards Kelly Marie Tran. I think Kelly Marie Tran is great. I think she's a very sweet person. And I think she deserves far better. Rose Tico didn't deserve better, but Kelly Marie Tran definitely deserved better.
And why wouldn't they include that video clip in their claims that Geeks and Gamers led a harassment campaign against Kelly Marie Tran?
Wow.
It's amazing how they didn't put that clip. But they took, I'm pretty sure, because I've made about 15 videos featuring her, and I'm pretty sure that that's where they took the quotes that they put, and they switched up the quotes a little bit. Because that's where it got from, and they just left out all the other context.
And at the end of the day, what they were saying was that there are comments on Kelly Marie Tran's Instagram that are similar to comments in the Geeks and Gamers video comments section. And you should be demonetized.
We have full control over our comment sections, right?
Yeah. And of course, we need to keep in mind as well, we are personally responsible for what each and every one of our subscribers says and does on
YouTube. Due to our mind-controlling powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, your voice get deeper, Jeremy?
It did sound a little.
I have a baby.
We
are older now.
There is these magical things called USB microphones versus XLR microphones. And that was
only voted for Trump one time.
That's before he went full MAGA, and then he became a man.
One of the replies to the Kyle Katarn asshole, which he blocked me, and I never interacted with this guy, but one of the replies was, well, you know what? Kyle's just trying to make the Star Wars community just a little safer. Safer?
Did he
succeeded, okay? If he removed every single one of you guys, all of us, there's still going to be assholes out there. There's still going to be people that disagree with you, Kyle.
There's people that don't like that shit. They'll have to be then made safe from them, because what they really want to be is safe from any kind of dissenting opinions. Anyone who has a slightly different opinion than them about Star Wars. And can you imagine if they actually got their way, if like they lived in this utopia that they're striving towards where all you have is people just mindlessly praising Disney Star Wars. The five or so people that are left who actually like it. What kind of discussions are you going to have? Where's the fan base? Where's the interest? Where's the different ideas that get exchanged? There wouldn't be any fights.
Those five or so people, though, would have the entire audience, which I think is a significant part of what it's like. Because all of this stuff comes from a place of envy, and it's literally, if I get rid of this, they'll see how great I am, and they'll all come and watch me, and that's it. So all the content creators, a lot of it is jealousy. And what they do with this, they have no intention of you doing, like they would have known the rest of that clip existed, but they don't want to create a full image. They want to create a narrow image that YouTube can look at and just go, it's not worth the effort. Loads of people are tweeting out, just get rid of them. That's what they hope.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't want the conversation, because if you think about how they're really coming at this from a Marxist ideology, right? They just want to shut down any dissent whatsoever. Whereas I could bring up the prequels and we could have a very hearty debate over whether the prequels are good or not on this panel, because we actually invite discourse. We actually invite conversation, whereas they just want to shut it all down.
Well, yeah. I think, because that stems from the idea that like you can argue your case and say, mm-hmm. I think TLJ is the worst thing to happen to Star Wars in all of its history, and I can give you 100 different reasons why. If they want to argue against that, fine, let's have a discussion, but they can. And so ultimately they would rather just silence me and have my channel nuked from YouTube rather than have to engage with my arguments. And be the same for anyone else on this
and
panel.
And the very
as well.
Sad thing would be if that happened, which it won't, it wouldn't help them at all. It wouldn't help them at all. I invite these Star Wars channels. I invite them all. We could talk anytime, but I invite them all who have been there first, who have been covering Star Wars, I don't know how long Star Wars Explain has been around, and I don't know nothing about it. I've never interacted with these people, but I invite them all to go into your little YouTube studio, and there's a little switch that says monetization, and you can turn it off and talk about Star Wars all fucking day long. Go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, that Kyle Katarn guy said he was willing to give up his $72 in ad revenue he makes every month if all Star Wars channels can be demonetized. What a brave and stunning soul he is.
Hero.
Ultimately, YouTube is the perfect marketplace of ideas. Just like social media, when Twitter is unbiased and it's not getting artificially thumb on the scales. And ultimately, our ideas find way more purchase than the blind toxic positivity of everything that Disney Star Wars make is perfect. Don't criticize it in the slightest.
If you don't want to see a bunch of negative stuff around a show that you like, then just, watch other stuff. Don't
also,
watch our stuff.
To the Star Wars easy. Channels, feel free to say no to Lucasfilm when they offer to fly you out to talk to former personal assistant to Harvey Weinstein, Leslie Headland. That word exists in our language, and you can use it all the time. You don't need to see the screeners early. You don't need to be invited to the red carpet. These are things you can just simply not do
and still talk about Star Wars. Because getting all this stuff, even having an exclusive first look at the next Star Wars TV show or whatever, no one's going to watch your fucking channel because no one cares about any of these things anymore.
Exactly. I want to put a clarification out there because this is something that we've been criticized on a lot. So I think there's more context needs to be given. When we refer to Leslie Headland as Harvey Weinstein's former personal assistant, the reason we do that is because she's Harvey Weinstein's former personal assistant. That is why we do it. There was the new rock stars video was these guys bring up the fact that she was an assistant at the Weinstein company. She was literally the former personal assistant to Harvey Weinstein. That has been documented. It's documented on mainstream websites. So that's why we say it. So I just wanted to give that clarification.
It's always worth keeping it in mind, forgive, but do not ever forget.
Yeah. And we don't know 100% what all of her tasks were, right? We're not sure whether she held the door shut while the women were trying to escape. We don't know if she went out and bought the Rohypnol to give to Harvey before this happened. There's a lot of questions as to exactly what her
we
role was.
We don't know these things. These are things we don't know.
We know all of it.
And we've never pretended to know those details, by the way. We will never know. We have never pretended to know the specific details. Thank you, Ryan, for that clarity. Because, we've only just stated the overall that she was the former personal assistant, not the specifics.
Didn't she also pen a stage play, which was based around a personal assistant to some monstrous producer, and then painted the assistant as the true victim in all of this?
Yes, and in the new Rockstars video, they tried to make it out like she did that in an act of bravery.
So brave.
They did.
So brave to excuse your past actions.
It's so brave to sit in the adjoining hotel room and listen as women are And then come out a couple years later and say something.
Yeah, so like, did she even like speak up and expose him at any point until after it all came out?
No.
Nobody did.
Chad, you don't understand. That would mean putting her own ass on the line. And there ain't no fucking way she's going to do something like that. Those other A-list actors who knew about this stuff, to speak out against him when he was still powerful and he could still pull strings and he could still end careers, none of them were going to take that risk.
I don't know what Leslie's tasks were, but speaking as a former assistant to a pretty high-ranking person in the media, sort of Hollywood world, film, TV, etc., you know pretty much everything that's going on. You read their emails. You sometimes have to respond to their emails. You set up all their meetings. You know who they're talking to. I can't imagine she didn't know exactly what was going on.
I mean, that's why I reckon she actually has the position she does, and she was even given the opportunity to do something for Acolyte. I reckon she, not only that, she has dirt on all the people that, you know, had certain exchanges with Weinstein back in the day, or might have been enjoying the parties as well. And because she doesn't have any talent, look at what she made. She made the friggin' Acolyte.
I think a lot of this stuff, like her experiences, then get reflected in her art. And I'm going to use the term art quite loosely here. But like when you get the Acolyte, you've got the leader of the lesbian space, which is mind. A young impressionable guy who's crying while no one else can see what's going on.
Leslie,
she's the good guy.
Murders her like adopted father, and the only complaint they have about it is that it was benign sexism, that he didn't suffer enough as she was killing him. It was one of the most wild interview I've seen.
We've seen this narrative start in the Access media. I think it was Inverse and others were talking about right after the Acolyte was canceled, it was due to toxic fans. That thread on me a month ago talked about invading spaces. This thread talked about invading spaces. And this isn't the first time we've heard about this. So they're reusing each other's language. Sure, it looks pretty coordinated. And this last one was. But ultimately, it's because I've said it before, this is Kathleen Kennedy's Disney Star Wars in its final form. This is exactly what she wanted. This script made her cry. She wanted to make this more than anything. They were really proud of this one, and it was an absolute failure. And Ryan is right. All the Acolyte had fans, and they all showed up, and it wasn't enough.
I do wonder, as though, like, on social media, like so many of the people who are mad about this, I don't think they cared about the Acolyte itself. They cared about what it represented.
Yes.
They cared about the political cause that it represented. They cared about the values that it preached. That was what mattered to them. And they knew this was a high-profile loss. One way or another, it was a loss to their cause. And it was a rejection of the values that they hold at the core of their very beings. And so when you get that, when you have people whose entire sense of self, their entire world and their entire sense of identity is tied to their political beliefs, and the entire world overwhelmingly rejects, and not just rejects but outright mocks and belittles that, the reaction is understandable. Then it is a backlash then against that. It is, no, you cannot possibly do this to me, and they want to lash out any way that they can. And it's hilarious because they've got completely no power whatsoever, but it's nice to see them try.
Their opinions come from like a social consensus. They have this opinion because they think it's the dominant one in society. So having something like this where it turns out, actually, you're the small group. You've been talking about how everyone else is a fringe voice, but you are. It actually triggers like psychic pain. It is literally like a mental attack on you. And the only way, like the best defense to protect your ego in that, because you can do a lot of work to convince yourself of the other ideas, or you can just carry on the pretense and attack, which is, you know, the best form of defense.
That? Yeah. Did you see that tweet that was doing the rounds just a couple of weeks back, where it was like studies that had shown that apparently like men who are attracted to like left-wing ideas, socialism, that sort of thing, tend to be weak-willed.
Yes. Well, it's a weak ideology. And so you get power from being a victim. It attracts victims.
Yeah. And so the premise, though, was basically that like they don't even necessarily believe anything deep down. They just go with what they think the consensus is, because they are fundamentally weak people.
Governed by their feelings.
But they're not brave enough to defend their points of view against outright criticism.
No.
And so like they would rather just dangerous. Go with what they think the consensus is, and they will stick with that. And then they believe that that's what everyone else thinks. So they then base their identity around that. And the idea then that they might be wrong just short.
It would shatter their soul. It would shatter their soul. It's easier to believe the lie than face the truth.
Well, I watched this video by this guy, Heel versus Baby. I don't know who he is.
Who?
Never heard of him. But he had an issue.
Let's not shout out low-tier YouTubers.
Yeah, okay? I'm sorry. My bad. I just had to give him a credit.
We need to make sure he's never said anything racist or sexist.
Okay? Yeah, we need to vet him.
Before we can talk about that.
We don't want any blowback on this show, okay?
We're trying to create a controversy. There might be a little bit, though. He made this point, a great point, where all of the things that these people are saying in this group, it seems like, it feels like they were told by Lucasfilm, because they've all been to Lucasfilm. The new Rockstars video shows a lot of these same people at Lucasfilm.
My favorite part of that video, sorry to interrupt, Garrett.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that video is like, we're not shills. And then it cuts to him sitting down with Leslie Headland.
But it very much seems like, it seems like very much like Star Wars is the one saying, hey, you're the community leaders. You guys are the ones of the fandom. You have to get out here and start telling people not to be toxic and be all positive about everything. That's what it feels like. And that goes to their head. And they go, yeah, we are the community. That's us.
But I hate that word.
It's everyone. Community. It's not just the guys that like it. It's everyone.
I mean, Aiden Paladin has a video kind of exposing Rewriting Ripley, and she exposes that they have direct connections with people at Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And so I would not put it past that this was actually encouraged, if not just full-blown requested or controlled by Lucasfilm, getting Rewriting Ripley to be there, you know.
And I'll even say this. It doesn't even have to be directly orchestrated. It could just be the environment that they are in, where they're brought into this place and they're talked and they're gassed up and then of course they're going to go out and go, oh, the Lucasfilm's so great, I met all the people, they're really cool and they're so nice and they care about the lore and they care about Star Wars, let's just be positive. And then it creates this us versus them when people don't agree with that.
We've literally had Dustborn, where one of the superpowers was cancellation, because you can cut people off from their friends and expel them from society, and then they'll be alone and vulnerable. So, you know, I don't go along with the fact that, oh no, it was just all natural. Because there's two essentially evolutionary survival techniques. You can either be big and strong and sort of you take control of your own world and you control it, or you can be weak and vulnerable, and then you get a group of people where everybody likes each other and all agrees, and then if anyone attacks them, you can all go together and survive. That's what they do. But if you want to be in the group, you have to agree on every single thing, otherwise they oust you and you survive. And those two survival strategies are literally masculine and feminine. The men went out and hunted, and so they had to be strong and dominant, and they had to get on with each other. Whereas the collective strategy goes through like rearing babies when the men are away. You can all collect to each other and help each other in that society. So over each other, as society is feminized, you end up with people using that and attacking others to try and kick them out of the desperate hope to protect
them. What Disbrew's trying to say is y'all a bunch of bitches, okay? That's what he's trying to say. And you need to be naked.
Yourselves. Stop being such assholes. Yeah.
The bottom line, if our channels get demonetized today, The Acolyte still sucks.
Yep.
It's not coming back, and we still have an audience that's going to support us wherever we go.
Yeah.
End of discussion. So there's literally nothing you can do that will change the fact that The Acolyte sucks.
This is probably a weird brick wall that they've run into, though.
Yes.
They're probably so used to being able to cancel people, to like complain and shout and screech loud enough that action gets taken. And now we've reached a point in our culture, especially on the internet, where that doesn't work anymore. It's been overused and abused to the point where no one believes you when you accuse people of being every ist and phobe under the sun. It's been done a million times. No one believes it anymore. No one takes any action on it. And your complaints mean fucking nothing.
NerdErotic.com. Please subscribe.